All right, I'm going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm not going to read any more scripture, but I want to tell you this: what was going on as we come to this portion of scripture. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had gathered all his hosts, and they've come and besieged the city of Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom, the ten tribes, or the northern kingdom, the ten tribes. And because they'd surrounded the city and besieged it, there was a great famine that was going on in the city. In fact, you go back and you read the Bible, and the Bible says that they were buying all sorts of unique things to eat and paying a big price for them. They were eating donkey heads and paying 80 pieces of silver per head. They were eating portions of dove dung and paying 5 pieces of silver for that. And then you go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. There's a story about two ladies who agreed together to eat their children. And so the famine was so great because of this siege of Samaria that they were just eating all sorts of garbage just to stay alive. And many people, because of the famine, were actually starving to death. I mean, just literally wasting away to nothing, starving to death, and dying. There were four lepers that live outside the gate. And they had, as well, nothing to eat. They were usually fed from within the city. But because of the siege, there was no food in the city, no food to share with them. And so they were dying. One day they got to reasoning with themselves, and they said, if we continue to set here, we're going to die. If we go into the city of Samaria, we're going to die. If we go to the enemy, the Syrians, if they kill us, we're going to die. But if they feed us, we'll live. And so they said, here, where we are now, and in the city, our odds are 100% we're going to die. If we go to the enemy, go to this people that have us surrounded, we have 50-50 odds. 50%, they could kill us, we'd die. Or 50%, they'd feed us, and we live. And so they said, we're going to go to the enemy. And so they went out to where the Syrians were camped, and they came into the camp, and they saw all sorts of things. They saw the tents. They saw food everywhere. They saw silver and gold. They saw all sorts of animals, donkeys and camels and horses. All sorts of clothes, raiment that was laying around. But they didn't see one solitary person. The Bible says not one man was in the camp. And as we read, what had happened, the Lord had let them hear a heavenly host. And they said, the king of Israel has hired against us the Hittites and the Egyptians. And they're coming to get us. Let's run. Let's get out of here. And they ran for their lives. They fled for their lives. They didn't stop for a moment to pick up, to take down their tents, to take any food, to take any silver, to take any gold. I mean, everything that they had in their camps, they left. And they ran for their lives. In fact, we didn't read it, but later on in the chapter, they sort of followed their trail, and they dropped things as they fled. More silver, more gold, more of their clothes. And the Israelites were like 4 days, if I remember right, and picking everything up. Well, when these four lepers came into the camp and it was deserted, they went into one tent, and it must have been dinner time when they heard the noise, because there was food. And they sat down and ate, and they drank. And they satisfied the hunger that they'd suffered because of the famine. They looked around the tent, and they saw some silver and gold, and they saw some clothes, and they said, this is great. And so they picked up the silver and the gold, and they picked up the clothes, and they went and hid it. Bible says they went into a second tent. Of course, they were already full, so they couldn't eat anymore, but there was more silver, and there was more gold, and there was more fancy clothes. So they picked that up and went and hid that. Now, verse 9, that brings us down to verse 9, and that's our text verse for tonight, where the Bible says, "Then they said one to another, we do not well. For this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." I want you to get the picture tonight. These four lepers. People all around them were starving to death. They were eating asses' heads. They were eating doves' dung. They were eating their children. And they were all dying because they had nothing that would satisfy their hunger. They were starving to death. And here were these four lepers. They had found food. They had found the thing that would satisfy the appetites of every single person in the city. They'd found the substance that would keep the whole city alive. They'd found enough food to not only feed themselves, but every man, woman, boy, girl, every single person that lived in the city of Samaria. At first they said, "Well, we're going to keep it to ourselves. We're just not going to share this with anybody. We're just going to eat, and we're going to feed, and we're going to keep all this money, and we're going to keep all these clothes, and we're going to keep all these animals. We're not going to share it with anybody." But soon they came to realize that there was more than enough to satisfy every single person in the city of Samaria. And so they said, "We're not doing well. We're not doing right. This is a day of glad tidings." Can you imagine what it must have been like for them to go back to the city, which they did? And they knocked on the gate and they said to the servant that opened the gate, "Go tell the king, go tell all the people, we found plenty of food. I mean, they don't have to eat donkeys' heads anymore. They don't have to eat doves' dung. They don't have to eat their children. They don't have to die. They don't have to starve. There's a feast waiting for them if they'll just come out and take it." When the king heard it, the king said, and his advisors, they said, "Well, the Syrians are they're tricking us. They know we're hungry. They know that when we hear something like this, we'll just rush out there without any defenses, and they'll be waiting for us, and they'll just kill us and come into the city." And so the advisors said to the king, "Well, we got some horses left. Why don't we take five of them, put men on them, and have them go out and see what's going on. Go out and see for themselves." And five men got on horses. They rode out to the camp. They followed the trail of clothes and money that the Syrians dropped as they fled when they heard this heavenly host that God sent. And they went back to the city and they said, "The lepers are right. It's true. There's a feast. I mean, we've been starving because of the famine, but there's an abundance of food. There's an abundance of everything that's good. There's an abundance of things that will keep us alive. There's not only an abundance of food, but there's an abundance of riches. There's silver, there's gold, there's raiment. I mean, there's enough for everybody in the city." I mean, you go back and read the scripture. The day before, Elisha had told them, he said, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel. And an advisor to the king said, "It can't be. I mean, we're paying 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head, 5 pieces of silver for dove's dung. You think we're going to have barley and wheat to sell for shekels compared to silver?" He said, "If God would open the windows of heaven, it couldn't happen." And Elijah said to him, "You'll see it, but you won't eat it." And the next day, the king put him in charge of the gate. And when these messengers that went out to see the camp came back and told the people that it was true, that there was plenty of food for everybody to eat, this guy opened the gate and he was killed as people ran over him trying to get to the food. He saw it, but he didn't get to eat it. they said, we're not doing well. This is a day of good news. And we're not telling anybody. They said, if we wait till morning, there's some mischief that's going to come upon us. And that word mischief means punishment or calamity. And so they said, let's go and tell. Let's go and tell them this good news. Now, here's the picture I want to paint tonight. And some of you, I think, are already where I'm going to go. We are the lepers. And no, I'm talking about we. You'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. We are the lepers. And all around us, people are starving to death, eating the things that the world has to offer, and finding no satisfaction in what they eat. I mean, the world serves up the best that it has, and if you look at it through spiritual eyes, it doesn't look any better than an ass's head or a piece of dove's dung. I mean, it may look good to it if you look at it with worldly eyes. And it may look appetizing and it may look like a delicacy, but when you look at it through spiritual eyes, what the world has to offer is no more attractive than a donkey's head or than dove's dung, and people that are partaking of it are starving to death and they're dying and going out to a Christless eternity to burn in hell forever. And we're like the lepers. We found the source of nourishment. We found the source of what it takes to keep us, to make us, and to keep us alive. We found that the thing, the person, more correctly, we found the person that will make us content, that will give us satisfaction of the soul, that will make us happy, that will make us satisfied, and yet. Some of us would say, like the lepers did at first, well, I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to share it. There may not be enough to go around. And so I'll just keep it to myself. Many die. And many starve as they die, longing for something that the world can't give. And we that are Christians tonight know exactly what that is. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it 100 times more in the next year if you give me the opportunity. Every single one of us were created to fellowship with God. That's why we were made. Every single person in this room tonight has a built-in desire to have a relationship with God. And if you and because of sin, that sin keeps us from having that relationship. I mean, if God turned his back on his only begotten Son when he hung on the cross because of all the sin that he took upon him, I mean, if he turned his back on Jesus Christ because of sin, how can you think that you can have a relationship with God unless you get your sin taken care of? And as long as you have sin in your life that Jesus hasn't paid for because you've never trusted Him as your Savior, there's going to be a longing in your heart and in your soul, however you want to say it, in your life, that regardless of what you try to fill it with, will never, ever be satisfied. Never. Never. But when you come to Christ, and when you admit that you're a sinner, and when you understand that on Calvary He paid the price for your sin, and you trust Him, and you form that personal relationship with Him, then you find that peace, that joy, that contentment, that satisfaction that the world can only look for. Let me remind you tonight of a couple things. We've drunk from a well that will never run dry. Amen? We eat at a table that will never go bare. Amen? So you don't have to worry that there won't be enough to go around. You don't have to worry that God's supply is going to run out and that you won't get enough. I guarantee you, based on the promises that are in this book, that God's supply is a never-ending supply, and that He can meet every need of your life, every day of your life, for all eternity. So we need to say to ourselves, like the lepers did, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, of glad tidings. This is a day of good news. We don't have to depend on what the world offers. We don't have to just feed on what the world offers up for us to feed on. We have something better. And that something that we have better is the Lord Jesus Christ. That something that we have better is to eat from the manna from heaven, to eat the bread of heaven, to drink that drink. If we drink it, we'll never thirst again, as He told the woman at the well. And so we found the answer. We found the supply. We found what it takes to satisfy us. This is a day of good news. And by the way, if you've lost the wonder of your salvation, you need to get out in the, well, you need to get somewhere tonight. I was going to say out in the woods. It may be too cold for that. But you need to get by yourself tonight, and you need to remind yourself how you were a sinner headed for hell and how Jesus paid the price of your sins, and you're no longer a sinner headed for hell. You're a saint headed for heaven. No longer do you face an eternity without Christ. You face an eternity with Him. No longer do you have face an eternity in the bottomless fire pit. You face an eternity to walk on the golden street where God lives, where He built a mansion for you. Get by yourself and revel in the goodness of your salvation and thank God for it. This is a day of good news. This is a day of glad tidings. We do not well by keeping it to ourselves. If we wait till the morning, mischief will come. You see, if you've tasted what I'm talking about, you're under a command from the King. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Mark 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're under a command of the King. He said, the fields are white unto harvest. All He needs are some harvesters, are some laborers. And if we don't go, we are in violation of a direct order from our commander-in-chief, and we deserve any mischief that comes upon us. He loves us. And if we're disobedient, He's going to chasten us. And so if we wait till the morning, mischief is going to come. So, number three, go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Look, you can't hang up a sign and say, come and get it. Because the world won't do that. You got to go to where they are. You say, Brother Darrell, where are they? They're everywhere. They're in your family. They're the people that live next door to you. They're the people that work on the next machine or in the next office. They're the student that sits at the next desk. They're the person that sits beside you in the barber shop or in the beauty shop. They're where you go bowling or roller skating. They're at the grocery store. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. People that are dying, that are starving, that need the bread of heaven, that need to take a drink from the well that never runs dry. They are everywhere. You don't have to look long to find them. You can find them wherever you look. They are everywhere. And they are starving to death, and they are dying on their way to hell, and they need somebody to tell them about the bread that came down from heaven. They need somebody to tell them about Jesus. They need to tell somebody to tell them that they're a sinner. They need somebody to tell them that Jesus loves sinners and that He died for them. They need somebody to tell them the simple gospel truth that if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou wilt be saved. And so tonight, go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. I guarantee you that any of us that are out tomorrow, I'm flying to Seattle tomorrow. I guarantee you, I'll come in contact with 15 or 20 people from the time that I leave in the morning until I get there tomorrow night, at a minimum. 15 or 20 people that are dying and on their way to hell. And I guarantee that if you go to work tomorrow, if you go to school tomorrow, if you go out to the grocery store tomorrow, that at least you'll come in contact with two or three people that are dying on their way to hell. The only thing they have to eat is what the world has to offer, and it's a bunch of garbage. And it will not satisfy. And you've got the answer. You've got what it takes. Go and tell. Let's pray. Father, we need this reminder often. We need to be reminded of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of what He did for us on Calvary. We need to be reminded of the responsibility that we have to tell other people about You. We need to be reminded that it's not a request, it's a command. We need to be reminded of that if we're not obedient, You'll probably punish us. We need to be reminded that people that we come in contact with have a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, and that we can make the difference as to where they go. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would remind us of those things. And I pray that You would give us the holy boldness that tomorrow, of the people that we come in contact with, that we'd somehow, some way, in some fashion, tell them about Jesus. Maybe just a tract. Maybe just sharing our testimony. Maybe taking them down the whole Romans road. But Father, help us to see them as a person that's starving. And we have a four-course meal that we can serve up. And for the first time in their life, they can know what it is to have satisfaction of the soul because they know Christ. And so, Father, I pray You do that. I pray tonight, if there is somebody here, it's not for sure they're on their way to heaven, the Holy Spirit, You would speak to them. Hard to share something you don't have. Until they get it for themselves, they can't share it with others. And I pray tonight they get it for themselves. They get ready to meet Jesus. Bless the invitation. Use it as You see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.